In the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was the Prince of Peace. I thought at his birth the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men." I thought that when Simeon saw Jesus in the temple, he sang, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." And we have this phrase, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what is this? Was Jesus having a bad day when he said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And a sword, as it says in the other Gospels. Jesus did not come to give peace on earth, but rather division. What in the world is he speaking of? Does it sound like there's any gospel in this gospel? Any good news in what Luke wrote that is devoted to the good news of Christ Jesus? Well, before we can hear the good news, we have to hear the bad news. Before one seeks treatment for an illness, one has to experience the symptoms of that illness, the pain, the discomfort, the distress. And so it is with the gospel. To properly hear the gospel, we need to understand that we are sinners and that we are, by nature, children of wrath, children of disobedience, enemies of God. Now, Jesus speaks here of his suffering on the cross. When he says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with. How great is my distress until it is accomplished." His baptism was a baptism of fire. It was a baptism into God's wrath over sin that was placed upon him instead of upon you and me. When he says, "How great is my distress until it is accomplished," you could translate accomplished as finished, as in, "It is finished." One of Jesus' last words on the cross. It is finished. It's the same word in the Greek. It is accomplished. How great is my distress until everything is finished that I came to do. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the prophet Isaiah says. And the sorrows he experienced, the grief he experienced, the suffering he experienced was for you and for me, for all the world. As he suffered and died under God's wrath for the sins of the world. He was headed for Jerusalem. He was headed for the place where he, according to God's will, must die for sin. There was a cross in his future, and he knew it, the cross he would gladly bear for you and me. "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." When John the Baptist preached about the coming of the Messiah. He said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire cleanses. Fire purifies. Fire destroys sin. And that is what Jesus came to do. But there are those who have no faith in Christ. There are those who don't trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins. There are those who think they are all right without Jesus. There are those who think that they can please God by their own works. Those who think that they live a good life, that they are honest, they are kind to people, that they always do what is right, but these people have not examined their own hearts. They are blind to their deeds that do not measure up to the perfect standards of a holy and righteous God. They fail to recognize that the wages of sin is death. And so, they don't understand their need of the gospel, or they even reject the gospel, wanting nothing to do with it. They do not want to walk and live as a child of God in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you." And what is this peace he speaks of? Well, Paul elucidates it. There's a fancy word. Paul talks about this peace when he says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God. Peace that is not of this world. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, when you are afflicted in this life, in this fallen world, you can be of good cheer because you have a peace that this world cannot give. Do not expect this world to give you that peace. The older I get, the more and more I recognize that. Our peace is found in Christ alone. He himself is our peace, Paul writes. Our peace is in the fact that God has reconciled himself to us sinners through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our peace is in the fact that God has declared you and me to be righteous, and we have entered into fellowship with God, into a familial relationship with God. God calls us His children for the sake of Jesus. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives. In the world you will not find peace. There is no peace for the wicked, the prophet writes. And who exactly are the wicked? Well, we were among the wicked at one time. We were without God, aliens to His grace and mercy. The wicked are those who lack faith in Christ. The wicked are those who seek their own pleasures instead of crucifying their sinful nature, as we are called to do on account of our baptism into Christ. The wicked are those who are outside of the grace of God because they have placed themselves outside of that grace. They may have peace in this world. They may have and enjoy all the things this world has to offer. But ultimately, it does not bring satisfaction. Ultimately, if they continue in their unbelief, they will experience eternal separation from God and a distress beyond imagination. Jesus came to bring division. We see this in his parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep were on his right hand, the place of blessing. The goats, unbelievers, were on his left hand, the place of cursing. The division Jesus speaks of is the division of those who have faith in Christ and those who lack faith in Christ. And this division can even run down the center of families. You see, there is an allegiance greater than that to our family members. That allegiance is our allegiance to God in Christ Jesus, because God has made his peace with us in Christ Jesus. And those who lack that allegiance, who lack faith in God through Christ Jesus, are on one side of the dividing line, and those who have this faith are on the other side. God draws a line in the sand, if you will. And having faith in Christ, we are on the side that brings blessing and peace and mercy and grace. As I said, this line of division runs down the very center of families. I came to bring division, Jesus says. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and we could say between husband and wives as well. If one has faith in Christ and one does not, this division will ultimately be made manifest on the day of the Lord, when again the sheep, those who have faith in Christ, are gathered at his right hand, and the goats, those who lack faith in Christ, are gathered at his left hand. Do not be surprised that the Christian and the church suffer in this world. Do not be surprised at the martyrdoms taking place in the Middle East and elsewhere in this world. The world will not give the church peace. Increasingly, we see that in our very United States. People do not want this peace of God, and they mock and ridicule those who have and proclaim and rest in this peace. Do not be surprised when there is division in your own household, division between you and your friends. Again, that division is between those who have faith in Christ and those who lack that faith. When you come to the divine service, when you come in repentance and faith, when you come forward to receive the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, you do have peace with God. As we sing in several of our services, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. You leave this altar in peace, the peace that God has established with you. You leave this place of worship as you go out into the world. assured and confident of the peace of God in Christ Jesus. Again, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but our enemies as Christians are the world with all of its false allurements. To pursue these instead of pursuing holiness and righteousness in Christ Jesus, instead of seeking first His kingdom. Our enemy is our sinful nature as well, which would seek to draw us over across the line so that we would stand in the place of unbelief. And our enemy is the devil himself, the one who seeks to destroy your faith, and he will do so by any means. He will make you complacent. He will lead you into gross sin, which destroys your faith. He will lead you to trust in the fact that you are a member of a church, rather than in the fact that God has made you a member of the Holy Christian Church in Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus is a Prince of Peace. Yes, He has made peace with sinners by His death on the cross, by His resurrection. He has made peace with you. Yes, we enjoy the peace of God which passes all human understanding. Yes, we can depart from this altar, having received the gift of Christ's body and blood for our forgiveness and salvation. We can depart this altar in peace. But we go forth into a world in which there is no peace, a world in which there is sorrow and affliction. But as we go forth, heirs of the gospel, children of God, declared righteous for Christ's sake, walking in His peace, we go forth victorious. We go forth under the cross of Christ. We go forth confident that God is with us in Christ Jesus, and that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love for us, God's love for you and for me in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.